Thrills. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Cheap Thrills. I'm your host, Etheria, and here's your top stories of the week. And now, here's your top stories in gaming. Welcome back, guys, to another week. How are you guys doing? Okay, so, all right. The first thing I want to talk about in this section of the podcast here. All right, Hellblade 2 is confirmed to run at 30 frames per second on Xbox with no performance mode available. The VFX director said that it would make the game feel more cinematic. Here's the thing. When they talk about like the movies, because the movies is actually 24 frames per second and stuff like that. But we have a month and a half until Sigma Saga Hellblade 2 is released, and it has been revealed today that Ninja Theory highly anticipated game. It's locked at 30 frames per second if you're playing on the Xbox Series X or S version. Speaking to game pro Mark Slayer Turnstile, the VFX director of Hellblade 2 confirmed that with dramatic resolution, so it ain't at a full 4K, but with no additional graphics options, such as a performance mode or, you know, graphics mode and whatnot. However, the PC version is not locked to this feature. And the increased frames per second can only be achieved on that platform. He explained that locking the console version of Hell 2 to 30 frames per second made the experience more cinematic. However, he did not specify if it was anything to do with the technical limitations of the Series S. Now, from their promotion and everything, and mind you guys, I'm still going to play this day one. I'm still going to play this game day one. But from the promotion, I thought it was running at 60. I mean, the game looks beautiful. And the game is going to retail for $50. And it's going to be like, I think, a 6-hour game. Now, here's my thing. This is why the pros and stuff are coming out. Here's the thing. We're going to have this conversation about these goddamn consoles. And I'm going to have it now. I think the reason why the PS5 sales have plateaued and the Series X and S have managed, well, I was able to find a goddamn PlayStation, Xbox Series S, like last week for $150. But I think the reason why a lot of people are not checking for these games like they should be, and checking for these systems like they should be, on the PlayStation side, there is no games. There are games that are coming, but there are no solid games. In my humble opinion, the only game that pushed the PlayStation 5 was a remake called Demon's Souls. I said this to you guys about the Grand Theft Auto, God of War series. I said it then and I'll say it again now. I've always thought that was a DLC game. I mean, that was a nice game, but Spider-Man 2 and God of War 2 was nothing but glorified DLC. I know y'all have a record of me saying that, and I stand 10 toes down on that. The Rise of Ronin flopped. And I will venture and say this shit as well. Final Fantasy 7, 6, 16? 16 flopped. 15 flopped. And Rebirth flopped. These studios are not making back their money. But we're 5 years. Well, hold on, because I want to make sure, because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to. When did the PlayStation 5 come out? Bitch, we're not even fucking, bitch, what, 2020? Girl, hold on. And mind you, Xbox came out before that. No, Xbox came out afterwards. All that to say this, y'all are 4 years into this goddamn system. And y'all are already showing limitations. 4 years. What? Nintendo Switch is less powerful, but they're still putting out decent games. They're still putting out decent games. Xbox. You was the one to announce the most powerful system in the world first. And you're locked at motherfucking 4K. You ain't even locked at 4K. You're not even locked at 4K. On a game that's one of your biggest hits. Well, one of them. And you are locking this at 30 frames per second. At the end of the day, man. At the end of the day, y'all gotta start looking at these fucking studios and be like, I don't think y'all are capable. Because there's no way in hell Nintendo was fucking y'all all up. This usually means to me. This is what this means to me. Because I have both of your systems. Your developers for your games are fucking y'all. They are fucking y'all. And ergo, they're fucking the goddamn customers. PlayStation, you need to revise what the fuck you said when it came to the PS5. Sony, you need to revise that as well as motherfucking Xbox. Y'all need to give people discounts. Y'all claim to be the powerful systems in the motherfucking goddamn world. The both of you. And y'all can't even push this shit. And mind you, I can understand. I really can't understand that I will give a leeway to a third party. And yes, Ninja Theory is third party. But y'all first party games, come on, man. Y'all not giving them what y'all expect. We are spending $500 on these fucking boxes with the hopes that y'all sit here and tell y'all telling us that our games are the powerful, are the best, and they're gonna run at fucking 4K and at 60 frames per second. But this shit isn't working. And the reason why we're side-eyeing your ass is Nintendo is putting games out at 1080p. And they're pushing that. Mind you, they're pushing that. But there's this 1080p at 30 and 60 frames per second. It's expected, and they meet that shit. Not entirely with the Pokemon series, but they aim to meet that on the weakest of the platforms. Y'all gotta start putting games before these motherfucking goddamn movies. Y'all really do. Not everything has to be cinematic. And Sony stepped into it when they went into that motherfucking, The Last of Us. They stepped into it with that. Xbox tried to do the same thing with the Halo series. Y'all know they bringing down a Gears of War 6, right? I'm reading all this shit. I love games. I really do. I love it. But I have to admit, these next consoles, I'm not buying the PS6. Or the next Xbox system day one. I'm not. Because you, at this point, y'all are laughing in my face. It is to me. I'm telling you guys, I love the games that I'm playing on the PS5 and I'm playing on the Series S. Because I got only an S. I don't got the next. And yes, I am on not the Ultimate, but I'm on the Game Pass. And that's where my value is. Yes, I get that. But PlayStation is nickel and diming people all the way around with the rise of their PlayStation Plus services, and they ain't giving no one no games. They're not even giving y'all no games. And then the CEO, the next one who's coming out, the one who's coming next, literally told you a lot. They done told you a lot. They said that they're going to start putting their games on different platforms, aka the PC. So they already told you people that that's what they're doing. That's their aim now. So what's the point of buying this next PS5 Pro? It's going to come to the PC. It's going to come to the PC eventually. Just go out the way. Nintendo have given us 7+ years. 7. Every time I turn on that Switch, the first thing that always happens to me is a smile. Because I know what I'm finna do. I can't say that for the Xbox, nor can I say that for the PlayStation 5. The PlayStation 1 and oh my God, the PlayStation 2. The PlayStation 2. That era? Oh, you couldn't keep me away from the PlayStation 2. You couldn't. They had everything. Everything. Y'all gotta fix y'all shit. Y'all really have to fix y'all shit. Hellblade 2 is at 30 frames per second, even though I think it's gonna look pretty. And the only reason why I'm not going hard, like I'm not going on Sony hard, but I'm gonna tell you guys, the only reason why I'm not going hard is because it's on Game Pass. It's on Game Pass. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna give you 5-6 hours and then I'm gone. But am I pissed off with them? Yeah, because you made me buy this system. Not made me buy the system, but you encouraged me to buy this system in the hopes that, you know, I'm getting a better deal. The deal, as it is now being shown, was always in Nintendo's hand. No wonder why people are scared of the next, the system. Because I'm telling you, even if they gave you Checkerbox, 4K resolution, and that they were pushing 60, shit, I don't know if Sony or Xbox can survive that. Because nobody is touching their game development team. No one. I mean, you look at their numbers. Mario Kart is at what? 80 million? Come on, dude. This is deluxe. I'm sorry, you guys. I didn't mean to go on a rant like that. But it's just, I'm looking at my systems. And I'm 4 years in. And I'm saying to myself, like, okay, did I make this investment back? And it's showing me that I haven't. I'm on the PS5. Do you want to know I'm only playing on the daily. I'm only playing Fortnite on the daily. I'm gonna have to make a decision next time around. I'm probably gonna want to get one of those systems. One. Instead of me having all three, I'm gonna have to go down to two. Cause I'm gonna pick up Nintendo's next system. Doesn't make no damn sense. Excuse me, sorry. Game industry layoffs. Baldur's Gate 3. Dev publisher saying game industry's layoffs. It's an avoidable fuck up. Over the past few months, Baldur's Gate developers have used its platform awards speeches for a healthier game industry. This tradition now extends to the publishing director, who recently interviewed with Game Files, shared his thoughts on the industry-wide layoff plaguing developers over the last 2 years as an avoidable fuck-up. But to prevent these giant operational failures that we call LARP are to avoid. Wait, let me read this properly. But to prevent these giant operational failures that we call layoffs, they are an avoidable fuck up. That's really all they are. That's why you see no one after you see no one. See one after another, because companies are going, well, finally, now we can too. We wanted to do it for ages. Everyone else is, so why don't we? Oh, okay, now I understand what you're saying. But this is going back to the Sony and Microsoft as well. They're all trying to catch that bottle in the lighting. Lightning in a bottle. I will say this much, and I am not lying to you guys. Fortnite fucked it up for a lot of developers. It's ridiculous how much money Fortnite makes. It's ridiculous. And when I tell you every platform wants that, the reason why Nintendo was not part of this conversation, because they already got their stuff. They already got their tentpoles. They got Mario. They got Zelda. They got Kirby. They already got their tentpoles. Sony and Microsoft are trying their best to catch that. And every time it's falling. It's falling. I feel awful that I was struggling with reading right there. I still haven't ended that game yet, but it is a fun game. I told you guys, listen, the reason why I haven't ended the game yet, I'm close to the end. I'm not a strategy game. And it's weird for me to say that because I like Mario plus rabbits. I like that game. But when it comes, and I like the Fire Emblem series. Though the last two I can care for. But it's a strategy game. But I feel like I want it to be a more of a Dragon Dogma. Like, I want that. You know what I wish it was like? You know, and I guess that's why Witcher 3 just thrived. Because it was, you were literally the action was in your face, but it was set up like it was expected. And with Baldur's Gate 3, I don't understand why y'all keep giving all these people these awards and stuff like that. The game is good, but it's a double-edged sword to me because I can walk away from that game. However, I can come back to that game and figure it out fairly quickly. That's the strong part of it. But the weak part of it is I can walk away from the game. And I have walked away from the game several times. A strong game, you don't want to walk away from. You want to see it to its end. And that's why I was surprised that that a lot of Xbox games, oh my god, y'all are killing me. I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean to be drawn up. I'm trying to figure out this goddamn game. And the thing about it is I'm on their website right now. And it's not even in the front game. Like, girl, are you fucking kidding me? The space game. Y'all need y'all asses kicked, Xbox. Y'all need y'all. This is your game. This is your game. Right now, I'm looking at they got Fortnite, Grand Theft Auto 5, Roblox, Fortnite, Minecraft, Call of Duty, Power World, Baldur's Gate 3, Destiny 2, Diablo 4, Elden Ring, Dragon Dogma 2, and stuff like that. Now, see, if this is how I feel, you lot, what the fuck is that goddamn game called? It's not No Man's Sky. Oh, fuck it. Because I don't know it and stuff like that. Y'all know it was one of the biggest releases. And that's why no one ain't paying no damn attention. I played that game and I ended it, but I don't even remember the name of it. And I'm going on the website and you're not even promoting your own fucking studio games. That's stupid. Starfield should be number one on your goddamn website. That is your game. That is your game. And when you go to Xbox.com and you look at their games, Starfield is nowhere to be found. Okay. I think it's time for me to hit this one out. All right, guys. It was a bit of a rant today. I'm just looking at this. I'm just looking at my two systems. And I'm like wondering, like, I think I made a bad investment here. And those were your top stories in gaming.
And now, here's your top stories in pop culture.
Guys, I was just on Twitter. I was just on Twitter, babies. I'm gonna ask you something. I'm going to ask y'all something. How come Comoros Lee and Russell Simmons' daughter, Anoki, and mind you, she was just online just a year ago, where she was talking to how her father was not helping her out and just, left her for, like, you know, after the super, and she's supposed to, but he was supposed to help her with college and everything, with the bills and whatnot, and that kind of fell to the wayside because he's dealing with his own sexual cases and stuff like that. So, and mind you, again, her mama, who was also supposed to be helping her, her name is Kimora. Her daughter, who graduated from Harvard, is dating a 65-year-old billionaire. They're both grown. They can do what they want. No one ain't knocking that. Get your money. Get money, bitch. Get money. This is what becomes disgusting to me. Anoki. I hope I'm saying your name right. Baby girl. You're clearly playing the game. Or the environment that you're in. It's clearly a game. Anoki, if you ain't got $20 million in your motherfucking bank account after this shit, you a silly hoe. You a silly hoe. I'm gonna tell y'all something. I'm a bit older. And have I done some crazy shit over, like, have I done some silly shit in my past? Yeah, but not to this goddamn level. Like, girl, what? You have a supposed billionaire father. You have the very least a millionaire father, and a millionaire mother. You went to Harvard. As you are out here in this world, and you are tongue kissing a 65-year-old fucking billionaire, and you are 21 years old. I know that you both are adults. But baby, you ain't thinking about your motherfucking future. You're really not. Number one, That's why I said a cool 20 million for me. Bitch, if you gonna put me out here to look like a fucking hoe or a skank, bitch, you gonna pay like you fucking want. This is gonna ruin her prospects for a good man. This is gonna ruin all of that. Because anybody that is in her range, say, bitch, you got... I can see if he was kissing you on your, like, you know, your jaw and everything, and it could have been like a friendly thing, you know? What should I begin? God, she was just with Michael B. Jordan, and then she was like that. Lori Harvey. Do a little Lori Harvey, bitch. Get money, ho. Get money. Bitch, there's no way in fucking hell I'm going to sit here and let this man kiss me on film. That there's evidence. Because the way he kissed this woman, you can't tell me he ain't fuck her. You can't tell me that. Every man or woman that is looking at that is going to tell you, tells the world you're busted open for anyone. Because they have that over your head now. Bitch, if I'm telling you right now, talk to that nigga and say, I need at least $20 million in the bank right now. Right now. Go what? Girl, you out here, you have a picture of yourself kissing me. And here I am laid up in the motherfucking goddamn beach while you taking pictures of me looking like a fucking creep. And you from Harvard? Go. See what they did with, see what her mama went through? Girl. That's how your mama got knocked up by motherfucking Russell Simmons. And you would think that if you go to Harvard, like, the motherfuckers would literally be lining up just to be with you. The fact that you ain't got someone like this, oh, girl, if you don't get no motherfucking money behind this shit, because all of your prospects are fucked. All of them. You are going to have a hard time finding somebody to love you. Let alone fuck with you. Because there's no way in hell you are relating to that goddamn 65-year-old man. He's 65. You're 21 years old. We can all see, girl, that screams nothing but whore. That screams nothing but motherfucking whore for hire. I'm not saying you're a whore, honey. I wouldn't dare say nothing like that. But I'm telling you what it's perceived as. Girl, listen. She's alright. She's gonna be alright. I hope she is. Look at that girl. Grew up with a father in motherfucking house. With all that money and all that resources, only to turn around and do this shit? And I'm gonna tell you something. She ain't the only one. Baby, she is not the only one. She is not the only one. And if we really want to talk, you want me to shake this table? I'm going to tell you something. Let me shake this motherfucking table. Hold on. Let me shake this motherfucking table. Let me shake this motherfucker. That's why Jeffrey Epstein was so motherfucking popular. That's how he got on as long as he did. These motherfucking girls who have these goddamn resources go and get with motherfuckers like this 65-year-old man. Because they're billionaires. And I don't give a fuck what y'all say about this shit, like that they're all whores. Now, when I say that, that's not meaning, I'm not condemning them. I'm like, bitch, get money. But what you're not going to do is you are no better than that girl on the corner. You are no better than that girl in the red light district. Y'all not. I think y'all go through worse shit than they do. Because out there in the streets, it's expected. But the shit that these deviants make y'all do in order to own, to earn y'all coin, those bags, girl, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. I can't imagine what that man has over her motherfucking head in order for her to get that, to kiss this man on motherfucking camera. Girl, please. Girl, please, I can't imagine what she's doing in order to earn her keep. Stole a cat. She got reminded. She went over the cat. No. Okay. Stole a cat is a little bit quirky and everything, right? But, you know, her fan base, right? They went after her this week. They was talking about her hair. Cause she has a new, she don't have a new album, but she has a remix of on her old album. And they were talking about her hair. They was like, "Girl, your hair looks like a nigger texture and stuff like that." Because they didn't know, you know, cause she's always wearing those wigs and stuff like that and whatnot. And she got pissed off about it. And I was like, "Girl, you went over there and you placated to them." You went over there placating to those people. At the end of the day, y'all are always going to be, I mean, not everybody is racist. Not everybody is racist. But you are different. And that will be thrown in your face at the opportune time for them. You are different. And I say this because black people do this to the girls that act a little bit hood. The white girls that act a little bit hood in the hood. You ain't nothing but a white girl. You ain't nothing but a white boy. But at the end of the day, like I said, you will always be reminded. Don't get pissed off at them. What, you thought you was safe because you was light-skinned? No, you're the worst to them. And I've always said this about Stole a Cat. Doja Cat for y'all, I don't know. I call her Stole a Cat. But, I've always said Doja Cat always hated, in my perception of her, Doja Cat always gave me, she didn't like that she was half black. Same thing that Logic, the rapper, dealt with. They hate that they don't, but they have black in them. They don't like it. Lizzo, baby girl, I need you to listen to me. I need you to listen to me. Girl, you are not built for this goddamn, you are not built for this celebrity life. You was online bitching, talking about you tired of motherfuckers and shit like that, because Beyonce just released her album. And you try to steal some of that shine by going online complaining. I'm tired of all of y'all talking about how fat and how ugly I am and stuff like that. And I'm going to quit being on, like, you know, she clarified talking about she going to quit being on social media. Bitch, you'd have to be on social media in the first goddamn place. You really didn't. But like I said, you are not built for this goddamn celebrity life. This is what your motherfucking ass is supposed to have done in the first goddamn place. Put out a couple of motherfucking albums and see how the world, because I don't want you to be silenced. But there's a game, there's a way how you move through this shit so that you can win. I like that there are heavier artists out there. You have to understand, they came long before you did, and they survived. But the problem here is, Lizzo, is that you are beautiful. You can sing your ass off. Stay there. Don't be on social media. Let your music speak for you. Show your good deeds. Do someone else's motherfucking post. If you are a good person, you don't need to promote that. Your actions will prove that. If you like to eat a good meal after every performance, so be it. I don't mind that you are the way that you are. I do mind that you are allowing these people to constantly get into your head, and then you want to go around here and say that you that bitch when the fact you're not. You are an artist who has talent. You are this generation's Kelly Price. That's who you are. Kelly Price can sing her ass off. But Kelly Price learned one thing and one thing quick. Kelly Price started writing for other people. Think of another strategy, girl. Think of another strategy. Because this isn't working for you. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because I care about your mental health. And I feel like that will affect not only you, but it will also affect that music. Shit, you see what they did to Lauryn Hill? And you thought you was going to fare better? No, ma'am. They practically destroyed motherfucking shit, look what they did to Britney Spears. We're not even going to go into the Christina Aguilera shit. Say what y'all will about Miss Billy Goat over there. That's Rihanna to y'all. Miss Billy Goat turned around and she changed the whole motherfucking game. Miss Billy Goat looked in the mirror and said, I am fucking stunning and I know how to dress. And she went right into the fashion area. Anybody wants a new album from Rihanna, but no one ain't gonna get it. Cause Rihanna, it took them once to fuck Rihanna. Rihanna was making all of those songs, and girl, this is not about Rihanna. I am just saying. You're going to have to change your strategy here. Oops, I got this new album coming out. Boop, let me give you a little video. Boop, let me give you all that. But as far as you engaging, And it's not because you don't want to. It's because it is what it is. You can handle it. And that is okay for you to say to your fans. You can handle that. You see what happened with Sia? Sia is mega successful. But Sia is not on motherfucking social media. Because Sia says she don't want to deal with you motherfuckers. There's ways how to do this. But I think some way and some a little bit of you, which overshadows everything else, I think you want to be in the spotlight. I think you want to be in the spotlight, Lizzo. You just don't like it out there. Girl, it is okay. It is all right. Change your strategy. Chance the Rapper, guys. I know, that was like, what? Whiplash right there. Sorry, change the subjects. Chance the Rapper and his wife, Kristen. They announced that they're separating. Y'all remember that picture that he was in when he was in the Barbados and they was at the carnival and stuff like that? And they was like, ain't nothing there. Yeah, it was. They was separated in. Oh, well, I hope that they are doing wonderful. And stuff like that. Beyonce. Let me tell y'all something. I left y'all last week and I said, let me go listen to this album. Because I waited it. This album, I sat and my expectation was quite low. Beyonce, Giselle Knowles. Has created a fucking masterpiece. I did not skip one fucking song. Those who know me, hopefully you have, I told y'all that Beyonce, in my humble opinion, her best album was Lemonade, but there are some songs on Lemonade I can skip. This song, she has 27 fucking tracks on this album. I love every one of her songs. Beyonce. God, bitch. American Workman. That, when that first came on, nothing really. Oh my God, I said, okay, where are you taking me, bitch? And when she hit that American Requiem, I said, and then when she went into it and she was at her lower register voice, I said, okay, Beyonce is taking me somewhere. I'm just going to enjoy this ride. And then she went into Blackbird. Now, I'm crying as I'm listening to this song. I'm telling you guys my experience. I'm crying as I'm listening to this song. All right. And I'm just like, oh my God, these harmonies are, oh my God, what are you doing? This is stunning. Then she went into 16 characters. 16 carriages. Now, because I heard this before, and I told you guys, between the first two releases, I always liked 16 Carriages. I thought 16 Carriages was beautiful. And I said, okay, I like it. Did Protector with her daughter Rumi. Awesome. This moved me. This song. I went into my baby's room because it was sleep. Because you know I listened to it that night, and I just held them. Like, oh my God. It just makes you just want to take your little one and just be like, you're my life, right? I'm your protector. Then Rose. Now, I didn't know Rose was gonna come. Like, the way how Rose came, Beyonce, bitch. I hate that was, because when they said, Rumi was like, what's the poem, right? The poem is My Rose. And what I heard, I hated that song was super short. A lot of the songs that she put in this album was short. I hated. Then here comes Smoke Island. Smoke Hour, the first one in the mission with Willie Nelson. And that led us into Texas Hold'em. And, you know, we go off of Texas. Texas Hold'em was a slow burn for me. It was a slow burn. I didn't like it. When I'm talking about with the first two singles. It wasn't I didn't like it. It was just a slow burn. Like, I could pop. I can dance to it. But I was like, okay. It's like, I preferred 16 Carriages more. And then, bitch, this is where she got into gear. Where she put When Bodyguard came on, bitch, I started to dance my ass off. I was like, now let me tell you something. This is how much I love this song. To this day, if I'm listening to this song, even in public, if I am in the grocery store or in public, I'm going to do a little jig to this dance, to this song. To me, this song is country personified. And I'm gonna say something. Oh God, this is gonna fuck y'all up. Okay. God, this is gonna sound really fucked up. God, please don't beat me on this, guys. Do not come for me. Please don't come for me. Bodyguard is something that I thought Taylor could sing. And the fact that she's on it, I thought that was a Taylor Swift song. That's what I thought. I was like, that sounds like something Taylor Swift for the song. But I do a little jig every single time I listen to that song. It's so beautiful and fun. It's just fun. I'm not beautiful. I take that back. That's over exaggerating. To me, Bodyguard is just fun. And then that goes into Dolly P, which is an interlude into Jolene. Now, a lot of people was like, you know, they were picking sides. Now, here's the thing about it. The original Dolly Parton song, Jolene, I do like that. I do like that. I do like Jolene. But here's the thing. Jolene's studio album, when in the studio, like on a record, I don't care for it. I do like that song sung live. I do like that song sung live.
Jolene and Beyonce's album, Cowboy Carter here. I like this song in the studio, and I liked how she changed it, and she made it her own. And that's, to me, that's what talent is. It's like, okay, you took this song and you made it your own. And that's fine. Still country, but you made it your own. And to me, that's where the penmanship comes in. And then another favorite of mine. Then Daughter came on. Okay. Daughter, when I heard this song, it made me think of, dare I say it, it made me thought of, Kill Bill. But here's the thing. Someone pointed this out, right? Jolene was the song to this woman about Don't Try Me. And Daughter was, okay, you did try me and this is what happened. Because clearly she fucked that girl up. And that's what the song, but it was beautiful. It was beautifully done. And I love the guitar, you know, it was beautifully done. My favorite song on the whole fucking album is Spaghetti. Girl, I listen to this song at least 20 times a day since it's been out. I've been listening to it at least 20 times. I love the tail end of the song. The tail end of the song. Oh! Ah! I was like, oh, bitch, you are singing! Bitch, you are singing! And what I loved about it, and this is with Linda Martell, I love that with this song, with Spaghetti, for me, with Spaghetti, Beyonce took those genres that everybody was confined to and was like, you need to stop doing that. And you need to make it. And so she literally changed the game. Because it was a little bit of a, it's country fused with hip hop and R&B. She took those genres and she turned them on their head. After that, Alligator Tears. Oh, another good one. Another good one. And I was looking at these and, you know, since I've heard, like, you know, read about it and stuff like that, I thought this song was like Crocodile Tears. Alligator Tears to me means that she's doing everything she can in order to do to please this man, and that is never enough for this man. And that's kind of fucked up, you know, to be with someone, to give them everything, and never to be enough. Unrequited love is what I like to, you know, that's how I interpret it as. Then here comes Smoke Hour 2, another one with Beyonce and Willie Nelson. And that was another interlude into Just For Fun. Now, Just For Fun to me is gospel with country. Country leading into gospel. And that was another genre that she was melding. Like, she took
everything and was like, what you're not gonna do? The fact that she called this country album a country album was to spite all of those motherfuckers who tried to box her. Because it's everything. It is a Beyonce album. That's what she said. But then she turned around at the end, right before the album, bitch, this is a country album. But it was to show people how traditional, as they will put it. Now, you know what I mean when I say that. She was showing you as what they would classify as country is not country. And you don't have to fit these cookie cutter boxes in order to get into that. No. Because Beyonce, with all of these genres that she mixed together, she gave you a country album. But just for fun, I thought that was a really beautiful song, and why not? Then Two Most Wanted with Miley Cyrus. I thought, how is this going to work? Because you know, Miley has a distinctive voice. Not to say that that's not good, but I just didn't think it melded with Beyonce, and they somehow made it work, and that's a testament to itself. Then here come Levi Jeans, baby. I don't like that dirty ass man, Post Malone. But when I heard Levi Jeans, I got it. I got his appeal. I said, oh, he's very versatile. And here's the thing, I understand. He's just versatile. I don't like him, but I do like him on this song. I was like, oh, he is singing his little ass off. And I can understand why he went into country. And then here come Flamingo. Flamingo was cute. When I heard it, when I came back to it, I got it. I was like, oh, this is very pretty. Hold on, let me see. My mind is telling me. That is so cute. That melody. Right about now. Okay, come on. Come on. Oof. God, I just love this fucking album, guys. I love this album. Linda Mattel came on again. And then she went into Yaya. Baby, when she said this was like Yaya, I thought of no one other but then, like, you know, the Tina Turners, the Little Richards, the Stevie Wonders, like the Chitlin' crew. And all I was thinking about, like, in the 50s and the 60s and stuff like that, where they were just, you know, barred to that area. But then I was just like, you know what? They made it work. They made it work and they gave you a show. And that's what I got from that. Then that went into all Louisiana. That's another little, it's a little interlude and stuff like that, which led into Desert Eagle, which is another interlude. But little Desert Eagle, baby, that Desert Eagle make you just want to just look, you know. At this time, this is my humble opinion, it's a preview that we're heading into Renaissance 1, which is Renaissance 2, which is supposed to be Renaissance 1. But we can see how they're starting to transition into Renaissance. Cowboy Carter is now transforming into Renaissance. And then here come Riverdance. Riverdance is It's a black country anthem that if you were into dance music, but she just added some country elements to it. And I think this should have been one of her singles, her first singles. Instead of 16 Carriages or, you know, I think that Riverdance should have been one of the singles. 2 Hands to Heaven. Oof. How did this go again? Yeah. 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 This song here is, baby, when you just, you are just relaxing with your significant other, and you're just riding. And mind you, when I say riding, I'm not talking about riding on the coast. I'm talking about riding in the Midwest or in Texas. And you're just like, you know, I just came from the bar, and I'm just like, you know, having a good time on the way home. And then timing to me is, and she sang this with Dolly Parton. Timing to me is one of those club bangers. Strictly club banger. You're not gonna hear this song outside of a club. Did Sweet Honey Bucking with Beyonce and Shaboozy. My favorite song too, Spaghetti, that's with Shaboozy too. Yeah, we're now into the Renaissance era. I love that honey part. Oh my God, that honey. She's like, honey, hey. Honey, hey, tastes like honey. I said, bitch, yes, ma'am. And then it went into bucking, right? I was like, okay, bitch, yeah, we are tearing this whole motherfucking goddamn club the fuck up. And then the last song, Amen, which literally, they kind of like you mixed it on Spotify. It goes wonderfully, seamlessly into Renaissance. That album, bitch. I want to see how this is gonna end. I am excited about next year's Grammys. I'll tell you that much. I'll tell you that right now. I am going to listen to this song. I'm going to listen to this album day in and day out. I'm sorry. Beyonce, you put your fucking foot in this. You put your fucking foot in this. Every song is a banger. Everyone. And that's my review. That's my review. I'm about to go listen to this goddamn album right now, guys. I'll talk to y'all later. And those are your top stories in pop culture. Well, guys, it looks like we've come to the end of another great episode here on Cheap Thrills. I've been your host, Etheria. And I look forward to chatting with you guys next week. If you'd like to write to us, you can contact us at cheapthrillspodcast01@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at cheapthrillspodcast01.